Thank you. Good night. 6:30
Yeah, and these are interviews from the street from the last month. This is Bathurst Pier's broadside, the last half hour. I invite you to trek on down to the beach boardwalk to check out protests against the Canfield Company's sellout that's going on. I should say the bulldozing of the Beach Flats neighborhood that will be ratified by the City Council on October 6th at their 7 o'clock session after they steal the property at the 1:30 session. If you're interested in attending any of those three events, the rally today, I should say the picketing, I don't know how many people are rallying, but there are a number of people who are picketing and protesting in front of the beach boardwalk along Beach Street. Go check that out around the casino area. That's happening even as we speak. Then on Tuesday, you can go down at 1:30 to City Hall and speak up against the land giveaway to Canfield. Then at 7 o'clock, you can talk about the money giveaway and the license to build it. All this within the next 3 days. Exciting times. Also tonight at 11 o'clock, or actually before, you can join the sleep out at the post office or look in on it. That's down at the main post office at Water and Front Streets, downtown Santa Cruz. We'll see if the federal property justification protects the sleepers. I find that would be quite a novel kind of protection, because when people were sleeping there 8 years ago, when I was sleeping there with people at the City Hall, it wasn't the City Hall sleepers then, it was the post office vigil, they did arrest people, I believe, at the post office using local codes, probably inaccurately. But Billy seems to know what he's talking about, at least he's willing to stand on those points, and we'll see what happens tonight. I'll be down there with my tape recorder. Invite you to come down with your bedrolls, some candles, some blankets, maybe some food, and we can all share this conversation and carry on this dialogue. Very interesting dialogue, as you probably will agree if you've been listening here on Crew Radio. It's some real live people who live outside, often not because they want to, because they have to. Now we're going to listen to some political candidates. Yesterday was the kickoff, official kickoff of the campaign for Tim Fitzmaurice, or Fitzmaurice, I'm never sure which it is. He's one of the three big progressive candidates out of four. Clark is the fourth. He's not running on the slate, but he's a man who came out in favor of ending the sleeping ban before any of the other three did, so certainly deserves your attention as well. But anyway, it was Fitzmaurice's kickoff in Loudoun Nelson Center. He's a man who's done a lot of work around transportation. He's spoken out strongly on issues of abuses around the beach area plan. He's spoken out about the Citizens Police Review Board being inadequate in its responses to him. And he's actually come out against the amendment of the sleeping ban. Before we go into that, however, here's a quick phone call.
Hi, you're on Crew Radio Santa Cruz.
FYI, Christopher Crone was the first candidate to come out against the sleeping ban back.
Oh, well, thank you. Coordinator, or one of them, of the campaign to repeal the sleeping
outreach
ban.
Coordinator. Let's keep reaching out.
Talk to you later. Thank you, David.
Boy, those snappy, up-to-the-minute bulletins. I'm glad that we don't lose our heads with this rush. Let's hear what Keith Sugar has to say. Keith Sugar is one of the three candidates who was at this kickoff for Tim Fitzmaurice. The other one, of course, was Chris Crone, the man you just heard mentioned. Keith had this to say about the sleeping ban on this occasion.
You know, I'm just going to confine my remarks to Tim, because I've done this.
Okay, we're in the hallway of Loudoun Nelson with candidate Keith Sugar.
Hi, Keith.
Hello, I've got my mouth full.
He's got his mouth full, but I want to point out, I'm not ambushing you, even though your mouth is full. And you set up different forms. You don't want to see a ban against sleeping in force against anyone, particularly when there's no choice
yet. In a nutshell, my view on the ban is this. I think the first priority should be beds, but I think the ban is wrong. I think it's unconstitutional, and if it came before the City Council, I'd vote to repeal the ban on sleeping. But I think the first priority should be beds.
Fair enough, and clearly stated. Thank you, Keith.
Any neighbors should have the business association.
A little bit of garble there. Actually, what we're now going to hear is something I think that is very important. You've heard a lot of criticism of the current beach area plan, the Beach South of Laurel plan, BSAL as it's called. This is the plan, of course, that would realign 3rd Street, a new hotel. Lots of money to the Canfield Corporation, destroy houses down there, and allow for new roller coaster construction, etc., etc. One criticism that has been levied against the critics is that they have not got any alternatives. Well, here's a man who has got some alternatives. His name is Fred Geiger, and he gave a very articulate and brief description of what he proposes. This was at the same Fitzmaurice kickoff yesterday at Loudoun Nelson Center. Fred Geiger.
Politico, Fred Geiger. Fred, you have a, well, man about politics, Uncle Fred G. You have an alternate plan for how to improve the beach flats and upgrade the quality of life.
That's right, Robert. We're being sold this beach plan under the banner of, well, everyone wants to clean up the beach flats, right? But unfortunately, according to the figures from the Redevelopment Agency, if they realign 3rd Street at a cost of about $4 million, which the boardwalk is going to underwrite about $1.5 million, that'll mean $2.5 million out of the pockets of the citizens, and the net yearly taxable increase from this project, when the boardwalk is expanded, will be $150,000 a year. This gives the city approximately the amount of money they need to pay the interest on the $2.5 million they would have spent. And there is no recovery of any of that money or any other money from the boardwalk expansion to improve the beach flats. Therefore, my proposal is to take the money that would have been used to realign the 3rd Street, rather, and delete the boardwalk expansion. Also, disband the Redevelopment Agency a year or two sooner, seeing how they won't have as much to oversee without the boardwalk expansion. They make about $2.5 million a year in tax money from into their budget. Take this $5 million, use that to buy the properties that are presently sitting either derelict or vacant land that's in that area owned by the Seaside Company, and buy them at the value that they are presently, not as potential boardwalk, but as merely derelict properties and vacant land in a rundown area. Invite Habitat for Humanity, and they've already expressed interest. Also, take the funds that the city normally receives from developers in lieu of building low-income housing, as 15% is required in current law. Take this money and help construct low-income housing that can be bought by people in the community, like 1 or 2% down moderate density, long-term mortgages. The key to renovating the boardwalk and rather the beach flats area is people have pride in their community. Home ownership is the basic anchor of pride in a community. If people felt like they had a long-term interest and commitment to the area, the whole vibe would change, and you would see a vibrant community arise with pride and people taking care of the area. And this could all be done with no additional cost to the taxpayer and without the extreme traffic and environmental impacts that the boardwalk expansion would create.
It sounds like a great plan to me, Fred. Have you proposed to the candidates?
Yeah, I have. I've talked with the candidates about this. Naturally, right now they're in the middle of a campaign, but they seem quite receptive to the idea. And this is one of many type of progressive ideas that these candidates are looking at and evaluating. And I'm looking forward to seeing many similar forward-thinking ideas that benefit truly the public and not just business adopted when these candidates are elected.
Because I know that one of the criticisms of the candidates has been they don't have alternatives. This sounds like a definite alternative.
Well, anyone who listened to the third Beach Flats hearing at the Civic Auditorium would have heard a number of well-qualified members of the community, a traffic engineer, sociology professor, various different individuals with quite a bit of experience and expertise coming up with precise criticisms and suggestions. And I'm very confident that our candidates, having open-mindedness and no preconceived notions or agendas as such as some of the current council members, we'll rely on the expertise of the community and arrive at a plan that is, once again, like I say, beneficial to the whole community.
Now, there is a rumor afoot that on Tuesday, the 3rd Street realignment will be dumped in the boardwalk plan in order to remove this as an election issue and perhaps defeat one, two, or three of the candidates who are running as progressives. What's your take on that?
Well, certainly I welcome any deletion of the 3rd Street realignment and the boardwalk expansion being deleted, and that would be the right thing to do for the community. However, the very fact that these candidates that helped make this part of the political consciousness of the city might be damaged by this would be unfortunate. So I hope people can look beyond the immediate issue and see the long-term future of Santa Cruz, and the fact that if these candidates are not elected, we'll see more of these type of attempts, raids on the community pocketbook, and abuse of low-income people for the interests of corporations.
You're overseeing other projects like Carroll's Point in Bombay.
Take care, Keith.
Any comments on what's happening on those project lines?
Well, I think these candidates have similar views as far as the public interest being ahead of private interest on these other two projects. I think they've expressed that they support truly coastal-dependent research facilities at Terrace Point. It would be foolish to waste the opportunity that we have to do something with that area that is unique and under the guise of, you know, some kind of auxiliary needs, just muck it up with a lot of development that's common to whatever area. And as far as the Greenbelt, they think they definitely support Measure G and the community purchasing that area. And I'm very optimistic that'll be happening.
And what about the
Bombay property situation? Yeah, that's what I was referring to as the Greenbelt. Yeah, the Bombay, I think hopefully Measure G will allow us to purchase that, and that'll settle that issue once and for all.
Is there anything coming up in the next few weeks we should look at, or commission or council meetings we should be concerned about? We all know about the rubber stamp meeting coming up at 1:30 on Tuesday, when there'll be, of course, presumably the land grant issue will be quickly ratified, the exchange of valuable property for DREC, and then we're going to have 7 o'clock ratification of the entire plan, or perhaps minus the 3rd Street realignment. But what else is coming up in the next couple of weeks, Fred?
Well, like we're discussing, Robert, we've got the Bombay issue and we've got the Terrace Point issue both coming up, coincidentally, to be voted on before the new council is seated in late November. I think we all have to be a little bit dubious about the timing on all three of these issues. And I think, once again, public outrage and public attendance at these various hearings might have some effect on these existing council majority. And if not, at least we can use them to raise consciousness for our three candidates, Fitz, Morris, Crone, and Sugar, and get them elected and put an end to this kind of stuff.
Thank you, Fred Geiger.
Thank you, Robert Norris. Hang in there.
And thank you, Free Radio Santa Cruz audience, for listening to all this. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM, the closing minutes of Bathrop's Pier's Broadsides. Let's hear a little more chatter from the streets.
This is my brother, Sunrise.
Hey, Sunrise. Sunrise Ian Webb is my full name. And I can totally see what my sister says. It's a bogus deal out here, being a street musician, and having been a street musician for 15 years, I've never been in a town where it's so hard to make a living busking as it is here in Santa Cruz.
What kind of instrument do you play?
I'm a guitarist. I play an acoustic guitar, an electric guitar. I occasionally play a keyboard. And I'm delving into other stringed instruments such as the mandolin and the violin.
And which of these have you played on the streets recently?
Right now it's just my acoustic guitar.
They confiscate your instruments and sell them if you do things that they consider illegal. Which is unconstitutional, I might add. But they don't consider that so.
And unkind. That's a question I have for listeners, actually, is what happened to the Constitution? How come this state doesn't abide by the Constitution?
Why is it that cops can seize your property and sell it off out from under you without any legal right whatsoever?
You gotta have money to make money, sweetheart. You know, you gotta go along the gun line, you know?
Understood.
I thank both of you very much for your helpful commentary. Our men will be talking to you later.
Well, thank you. We'll be breaking our knees, too.
It's about 15 to 11 on September 15th. We're at the Morrissey Street Safeway. Report from Tom. As if there was some accident going on. That's anonymous, Tom. And apparently there has to do with some homeless people being confronted by police officers for the honorables. Not too clear.
public show, the police car was parked here on the parking lot. Two officers, there's an officer crew, and second officer confronting 200 people are being made to remove their bottles from a shopping cart. Interesting, it's actually four people. Hi. Looks like the officer is issuing a ticket for these folks. So what's up? What's happening? Yeah. And
overcast day.
How you doing today, sir?
Okay, Officer Perry, how's it going?
Slow day in the neighborhood for you.
I don't know, it's like a slow day for you. What are you doing hassling these people for?
None of these people have been the kids that I'm hassling.
Oh, good. You know, you guys aren't being hassled? All as well? Looks like you've removed the shopping cart. I'm taking the tree. I thought I saw these folks removing stuff from the shopping cart when I arrived.
You said I removed.
Didn't they do it under your direction?
They did it because they don't want to lose their property.
Okay, so you're taking, you're confiscating shopping carts.
I'm not confiscating anything, sir. Don't come to conclusions.
What are you doing then?
It's none of your business.
Well, I think it is. I think it's the public's business what you're doing.
I have no rights to tell you anything about this case.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know that's the claim constantly used by police to keep what they're doing in confidence.
I just asked them.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I love keeping an eye on you folks, you know, nothing personal.
No, I'm not better than
you. No, I think you're the individual that should be doing something better. There are some real crimes to be dealt with. Young leader, but your shopping carts that are not being used, and Officer Perry is spending public time and money to harass people who need to use them. They're not being used, they're vacant, and instead Officer Perry is spending your taxpayer dollars giving tickets to homeless people who are trying simply to survive. That's how it looks to me. But you'll have to judge for yourself, folks. Looks like Officer Perry is also indoctrinating a younger officer here. That's to follow his footsteps. Maybe you can show him how to wake up people who are sleeping at night, Officer Perry. That might be one approach you can do.
Thank you.
Take care.
You know this gentleman?
No. But you know me. Okay, well, we'll record that too. No problem, I don't mind recording the facts. So I have to raise a smile on his face as he looks over the situation here. And, maybe the officers are going to move on. Perhaps not. Who knows? Apparently it's become standard practice for police officers to harass people with shopping carts. And of course, people aren't going to complain too loudly, because if they do, they'll get harassed again, won't they, Officer Perry? I don't get any comments from the officer at this time. Hey, Billy. Officer Perry is helping the homeless here by removing their goods from shopping carts. All within the law, of course. This is a use of our taxpayer money. This is Officer Perry, the gentleman in the dark blue. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good. But there seems to be a slight pause in the operation because they're being observed, so that's always a positive thing.
They're observing.
They're observing.
So, from your observations, what has been happening?
Yeah, from my observation, I just got here with a couple of the folks who are having removing their stuff from the shopping cart. I got a report that this has been going on for the last 10 or 15 minutes. The police have stopped this group of folks from removing their stuff from the carts. And while it may be technically within the law, what they're doing, it strikes me as a form of harassment. And that's what I'm here. How you doing? So, you've been watching this?
Yeah.
What's it all about? It's for free radio samples. I don't know, let's play shopping carts and stuff. Were they assaulting passers-by, were they hitting people, or...
No, it's just doing some stuff.
Survivor.
What is it?
I'm off a roll in a shopping cart.
Yeah.
I'm off a roll, I mean, it's not me,
it's
the bird.
That's
what I'm saying. So these folks are using the carts to recycle stuff and return it to beans, actually helping the city by doing that.
That's a roll, okay.
What do you think of this?
Yeah, I don't know, but I think it's terrible.
They can get the real quips,
I think.
That's what I've been. This will be a
symbolism.
The free radio sound crews will be broadcast on Thursday.
A dig it for Saturday.
Yeah, it's terrible. Jumping pain and all that. I'm closing the head of that. They put him in jail. He's in jail with the courthouse. I've been kind of on the homeless street. I lost my house and stuff. And
how long have you yourself been on the street?
Been in 3 years now.
And
how have police been treating you? Well, I try to get rid of it. Because, you know, camping, you know, trying to camp out and stuff, you know, and try to stay in the car with all that is filled up. You know, but some of them have diabetes. I can't be out in the streets. It's healthy. And, yeah, different. But it's hard, you know. You get food stamps and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, so it's like a couple of social services.
I know, 50, so I can don't worry about that.
I'm just Robert, by the way.
What do you think about the proposition that we should hold homeless people strictly to the letter of the law that let President Clinton have a little shot?
Well, in my opinion, no. I hope he don't get impeached, because I think it'd be bad for the country.
All right. That's what happened. Should we have that? Should we have shot as well?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, they're not, I mean, it's crime, I mean, you know, you're just trying to survive, you know. I just had my own car, so I had my own driving car, somebody ripped it off, I made my own car. They tried to give me a ticket on that, and I said, no, this is my car, you can't do that. I said, well, can you prove it? And I'm proving it was my car. Let's put it out there sometimes, you know, and make your own
black business, I guess you have to prove
it. Good job, Officer Boy. Yeah, it's...
That's just credit to you and to your service.
So anyway, it's terrible. I mean, this camping thing, that's one thing that should be rectified. There's a lot of homeless people, you know, they're led by a chair, it's not changing.
Have you been ticketed for sleeping outside?
No. I had some friends one time that were there, they were out in the coconuts out there. And I can't afford to go in the Henry Cow, you know, for about $17 a minute, that's pretty expensive. You got the hiking bike, you know, 2 days a month in there, and my bike went down, I can't even do that anymore, so I just roam the streets like a vampire. So, terrible, I get sick, you know. No, I just think it's wrong, you know. I mean, I can understand, you know, the deal, but not doing it wrong, you know. I mean, it's, you know, just trying to make a living, you know. So people don't do this, they turn to crime. This sort of crime, I think. So that's kind of the city. But I got a business down by the on Beach Street, the Amuse Grocery. I think like 1,000 carts just to be, because it's changed now with all the super recycling. But it's terrible, I think it's wrong. I think it's against the people's rights. I mean, it's supposed to be freedom of this and freedom of that. This is not a solution. Thank you. In a shopping car? Is that what the ticket was?
I heard about it. No, it's not the first time, it's the last time.
Yeah, if you like that, that's fine with me.
Has this been happening more recently, or is it just sort of like
this? It's just no big thing. It's the usual.
Yeah, it's the usual thing it does.
If he was out of a shootout with some other person downtown or something, he'd be the last one to show up because he's scared.
We're talking about Officer Perry. Perry, they call him RoboCop.
And he's not RoboCop. He's a dick. He's bred for it.
So all you were doing was
You have stuff in your cart, right? Like, yeah. You're returning bottles to recycle?
No, they just recycle. They just fall up and just get busted and just got lucky. And just be an asshole.
That's all right. And you're the only one who got a ticket?
Yeah, that's okay. I'll accept it. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll set my ass in jail the first place. Good, because I need some Libyan anyways.
I don't give a shit.
That asshole you bought this bag that I gave you?
Fuck yeah.
I just donated these bottles in the city bag to them. They asked when I got the bag.
City,
that's right. You can't even walk around with those things. You can't even fart in these things when you get busted for it.
I did, man. It's my bad.
Oh, that's no problem. Don't worry about it. Hey,
I'm a man. I can handle a ticket. But you'd like to file a complaint against the police department.
This is my complaint.
We're giving a visual demonstration with his hand, folks. If you could imagine
a photo.
A photo opportunity.
Take it with you.
You want to say who you are?
Nope.
Okay. Anything you want to say to the free radio audience?
Kiss my ass and let the goddamn Lord speak to me.
Now, is that to the audience or is that to the police department?
The fucking pig department. The pokey smokers, as they call them.
Thank you very much.
You bring it.
So we're talking to
Veronica.
Veronica, what happened here?
They tell us when he pushed carts. When they gave him a ticket. Pushing the cart.
Was he hurting anyone as far as you could see?
No.
Was he stealing anything? Stolen
cart? No, he said we could keep the cart and, you know, just take it out of the cart.
And you guys are homeless?
Yes.
And this is how you make your living? By returning recycled cars? And does he have a problem with that?
Yes, he has a big problem with it.
What does he want you to go out and steal stuff instead?
I guess. And this wants us to get petty cash with piles and all that bullshit.
You know? He said he was going to complain.
No, he didn't say there was a complaint. He just said that the woman was supposed to be pushing carts.
Now, has he done, do you know this police officer?
Yes.
And what was your experience with him before?
I was drinking alcohol and, you know, he didn't like to get out of his car. He claims I made him get out of his car.
And he calls me a gun and you made him get out of his car?
He goes, Missy, you made me get out of my car. I told him, I didn't make you get out of your car. You got out because you wanted to. But you're drinking. I go, I can tell me I'm drinking. That's because it's sitting by me. That's mine. He goes, yes. I said, well, buy me a ticket.
Did he?
Nope.
That's it. So in other words, he didn't even
harassment.
It was harassment.
And we will continue this dialogue on Thursday, if I can find my voice, on Bathrobe Spears Broadsides when we return. That'll be at 6 o'clock on Thursday on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. We're a bit over time. My apologies to the talk show host that just came in. We're out of here, and I want to thank you for being with us on Bathrobe Spears Broadsides.
Be afraid.
other communities. I think Chris Krohn liked Utrecht.
Utrecht is in
Holland. Yeah, right.
He has a Dutch look about him.
And he liked the community in Belgium. Was it Antwerp, I think, or something? I'm not sure.
What about Pat Clark?
Oh, I don't remember what Pat Clark said. I'm not sure he answered the question.
What about the ebullient Keith Sugar?
You know, I forget what Keith or what Tim had to say, but you know, you could ask those candidates, right? Yeah.
Anything else? It was about a 2-hour session?
Yeah, it was about 2 hours, and from 7 to 10 actually. And,
yeah. We were kind of bogged down there in the city. Actually, it was a wonderful, wonderful time in the city. There were just one speaker after another, not only with the right position, but almost everyone was eloquent, had new information, and of course we had the Beach Flats residents, which was wonderful. Well, having cornered you here long enough, let me let you go get something to eat. Thank
right.
you, Peter.
Okay, thanks a lot.
And that was Peter Scott, whose partner or wife, not quite sure which, I'm not grounded in these things too much, is Mayor Celia Scott. He was giving his update on the Bayview Candidates Forum, which actually happened the same evening of the last public hearing around the Beach Flats boondoggle, the Beach Flats giveaway, the Seaside Company sellout, which came to a head earlier this week on Tuesday with the vote that was to be a rubber stamp and turned out to be something a little less than a rubber stamp. And we're going to be talking about that and speaking to various activists to see what their take on the Beach Flats vote on Tuesday night, actually Wednesday morning at City Council was. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrobes P.O.'s Broadsides, and I am your host, Bathrobes P.O. Robert Norris, here to guide you through or take a beating from you for 2 hours here until 8 o'clock. I want to invite you to go on down to the mixer where Linda Steinau is doing a fundraiser downtown at Clouds Restaurant. I don't suggest you contribute funds to a campaign, but perhaps a little wisdom might be in order. Steinau is the Downtown Association's candidate. I actually made up a special flyer about her, which is now being distributed on the streets. And I'm going to read it to you so you can know what's going on. Again, from 5 to 7, she has an open, I guess it's a cocktail bar, mixer, get-to-know-your-candidate kind of thing at the back of Clouds Restaurant. Clouds, as you may not know, is right around the corner from the Cinema 9 and Blockbuster on Pacific Avenue on that side street. I think it's Cooper Street. That's right across from the library. If you go in a block, you get to the library and the Sentinel, but right before you do, you run into Clouds Restaurant, which is on the same block as the Blockbuster Video in the Cinema 9 Theater right around the corner from it. Well, the flyer I wrote about Linda Steinau in honor of her campaign, not quite her campaign kickoff, since I think she already kicked it off, but let's say one of her fundraisers, and she's already been raising money. I understand she's raised at least $30,000 from the Downtown Business Association and assorted cronies. Here's my flyer. 4 more years of war against the poor, petty harassment for sitting on the sidewalk, minor marijuana busts of street people, hosts snitching on hippies for sitting on a planter, disappearing benches to remove undesirables. Want all this? Vote for Linda Steinau. An anti-homo sleeping ban and blanket ban, cruel assault on compassion through Beggars Begone style programs like the Real Change Not Spare Change paper hooks, rousting street jewelers selling necklaces, fighting to oust the farmers market, then taking credit for its success. Want all this? Vote for Linda Steinau. 4 more years of city council hypocrisy and sellout, sugary affordable housing rhetoric, Beach Flats neglect, abuse, and sellout, public be damned Steinau, Rotkin, Hernandez, Matthews majority, crippled, co-opted Citizens Police Review Board, Downtown Association DA banishment orders against the outspoken, closed Bucks for Business Matthews mentality, Rotkin's redevelopment rules of order at City Hall, closed meetings, Downtown Association style,
The Schmidt-Canfield vision for Santa Cruz. Landlord favoritism while tenants get evicted. More earthquake-era downtown association old boy politics. Want all this? Well, vote for Linda Steinau, the Downtown Business Association candidate. Return of the 3rd Street realignment and beach boardwalk expansion. Pivotal power for the woman Scott Kennedy calls rising star Steinau. Want all this? Vote for Linda Steinau. 4 more years of drug war politics and police state policies. Parks closing at dusk to shut out the poor. Walking along the riverfront illegal for all at night. Narcs reign supreme and Chief Belcher's law. Harassment of street newspaper vendors. Want all this? Vote for Linda Steinau, the Downtown Business Association candidate. Busts against free food servers downtown. Police shootings uninvestigated and justice undone. Youth harried with curfews and ID checks. Bikers and skateboarders under attack. Hot dog rookies upping the heat on Pacific Avenue. Censorship for needle exchange workers distributing life-saving information. Want all of this? Vote for Linda Steinau, the Downtown Business Association candidate. And that's a flyer that I put out today and is hopefully making the rounds downtown. And as I said, Linda Steinau, council candidate, will be publicly talking to people. You might want to talk to her about some of these things down at Cloud's Restaurant on Cooper Street between Pacific and Cedar. And it's open to the public, as I understand, because her flyers were distributed at the public forums. So that's something that folks can do if they want to get to know their candidates. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. If you want to speak out on these issues, we have open phone lines. We're at 427-3772. 427-3772. We've kind of arranged for this first hour, and I want to thank those who agreed to these interviews. First, I think we're going to give a call to our man, Dead On David Silva. And David is a man who's not only our link with the Greens locally, but also coordinator for the Sleeping Band. Looks like we're getting busy trying to reach him, so we'll have to wait on that one. We also were lucky enough to run into free-fighting Phil Baer, who's the man who single-handedly forced the Seaside Company to deal with, to give an acre and a half to the city because he challenged their tideland giveaway. And actually, we should have 6 acres, but instead, we only have 2 acres.
Instead, we have Phil Baer on the line. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Robert.
And you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz, as you probably know.
All right.
And Phil, you sound a little tired. Have you been kind of resting up after this incredible, 3 or 4 months of trying to alert the public to the beach boardwalk giveaway?
No, Robert, I haven't been resting up.
You haven't?
I've been working my tail off.
No, you're supposed to rest up now, Phil.
No rest for the weary.
I see. That's the wicked, I think it is. Well, Phil, you were there at the city council meeting where I guess we expected a rubber stamp. And what we got was something a bit more ambiguous. We got a strange plan from Michael Hernandez. He stumblingly read through this lengthy plan, which I must believe was concocted by Scott Kennedy and Rotkin, and perhaps Matthews, I don't know. I suspect Kennedy, since he seems to be the brains in this outfit. That's my reading of it. What's your sense?
Yes, I'd say Kennedy is the brains, if that's the appropriate term.
Mm-hmm. And we got this this lengthy kind of a series of amendments to the plan, which if we are to believe the San Jose Mercury News, if we are to believe the Sentinel, and I still haven't been able to get a copy of this from the city clerk. I've been kind of busy all day, and I think they only finished it yesterday, what the amendments were, removes, at least temporarily, if not, I assume it's only temporarily, that it can come back, the 3rd Street realignment, removes, scales down commercial development, and also stops the Seaside Beach Boardwalk expansion of the roller coaster onto the parking lot. Is that your reading of it?
Yes.
And what do you make of this? Give us some of your thoughts.
Well, I think everybody is missing the kicker here and going for the candied apple designed to distract us from the kicker being the Tidelands issue.
Now, are we talking about the Tidelands giveaway that happened the afternoon? Actually, it was on the Tuesday afternoon?
Yes.
I guess there are those who feel that the entire beach boardwalk is actually built on public property. I think Jane Bear, your wife, said that at one point.
Yes.
That was her position. But certainly there is a dispute over these 6 to 8 acres that you brought to the attention of the State Lands Commission?
Yes.
And then we have this situation that came up where the first and only public hearing was held, I guess, what, 2 hours, well, the end of it kind of,
mm-hmm.
It was 2 hours before the beginning of the final vote on the beach area plan, which is, I mean, the vote didn't happen until 2 a.m, but that's when the final so-called public discussion, or not, we didn't get to talk about it, but we got to hear them talk about it endlessly, of course.
Right.
So there wasn't really much public process around this Tidelands issue, right?
No, virtually none. We got what little information we got right spontaneously at that 1:30 session. I mean, we knew certain things, but we didn't have a sense of what the deal was that was being offered, how the thinking, the methodology behind the deal, none of it, you know. We just had to go there, look at it, and try to react intelligently on the spot.
Well, and I think you and everyone else that I heard, well, everyone certainly spoke very eloquently on the issue.
Everyone in opposition to the settlement,
well,
too.
There was only one person who spoke in favor of the settlement. That, of course, was the attorney for the State Lands Commission. Isn't that correct?
Well, also the attorney for the Seaside Company.
Yes, the two attorneys spoke in favor of the settlement. And
yeah, we had an attorney there, too, who, of course, opposed it.
And, of course, the main point that I heard him saying was that there is a provision of the Santa Cruz City Charter passed in 1948, which states you take this matter to the voters before you give away public land to, or particularly tide land. Is it all public land or is it just tide land?
1428 refers to public land, I believe.
So therefore any public land must first go to a vote of the voters, and I guess they're trying to do a cheesy backroom swap by instead saying surrender it back to the state from whence it came, and the state will do the giveaway to the Canfield Company.
Exactly.
And I guess they also wanted to commend you for this. I remember this particularly after watching speaker after speaker denounce this deal and say, nobody takes the first deal. Why are you giving up 6 to 8 acres to this company? You know, this is only the beginning. There hasn't even been a lawsuit. This is the first hearing. What are you doing? And they, of course, ignored that and went through their 5-2 vote in favor of it. Hernandez, Matthews, Kennedy, Rodkin, and Campbell. Actually, it was a 4-2. I guess Campbell was out of the... She abstained on this one, interestingly enough.
Well, she just got there about 5 minutes before the vote was taken.
So presumably she didn't feel she really had a real cause to cast a vote.
Right.
Of course, she wasn't needed. You know, she's always been a Kennedy groupie for my money on
mm-hmm.
these issues, and so it didn't make much difference whether how she voted, but she abstained. And then, of course, I guess Rodkin stood up and moved or that you should be commended for bringing this issue to the attention. The city staff, whose responsibility it is to bring this attention, was so busy whipping through a deal for Canfield and the Seaside Company that apparently they didn't have time to note this issue. You did. You, of course, slandered all over right and left for your work around this issue by the very people, Hernandez and Kennedy, who are pushing to pass this plan. This is my reading of the situation. Correct me if you disagree with any of these points. And here you were being, you know, praised as Man of the Year, but for some reason you didn't want to accept that title. And why was that?
Oh, they obviously sensed my enlarged ego and figured that the injustice of what they were proposing would somehow be obscured if they stroked me a little bit on it. I can be stroked, but not that easily.
You can be fluffed, but it has to be by someone who's pretty darn attractive.
Right.
So, you know, I watched the evening go on, and I found myself wondering why were they in such a rush to get this Tidelands deal done when it must have been simultaneously they had secretly decided to push the Hernandez, deal, which essentially involved kind of backdooring, backstaging, that's not the right word, backburnering the Third Street realignment, the commercial expansion, and the beach boardwalk expansion or commercial development.
Right.
Why, first of all, why do you think they didn't come public with this a few days before? I mean, it must have been cooked up at least a day or two in advance, but nobody heard about it.
I don't know on that. Maybe it just takes a long time to evolve such intricate strategies. I found it typical or something that Celia Scott trying to respond to this voluminous stack of amendments and fine print that is presented to her, the mayor, as the meeting begins, you know, that she had never seen this thing prior to that meeting. And it was equally obvious to me that this was a plan that evolved somewhere other than out of Michael Hernandez, and that...
even though his name was on it.
Right, and that it was clearly coordinated with at least three other council members, making it questionable relative to Brown Act and matters like that. That this was very calculated, with all sorts of psychology relative to the forthcoming election, for example, designed to look like they were really taking a beating and they were magnanimously responding to the will of the people. As just terribly responsive and noble elected officials, when in fact the underlying plot sort of indicated in today's Sentinel editorial was to pull the issue out from under Crone, Sugar, and Fitzmaurice, supposedly leaving them running without an issue, and then their candidates, obviously Steinau, Cordero, and perhaps Walton, left standing with all of their issues, whatever their issues are. You know, a very carefully designed losing of that battle in order to win the war in November at the election.
Indeed, they will win the war if they get even one candidate in, because although they've prescribed some kind of public process, is there any indication in this deal as to how long that process has to be? Or
Oh, no. All the amendments I read is basically being fluffed.